right. That's correct. Yes, the Place de la Concorde in Paris, France, Paris, if you will, was the place where the revolutionaries guillotined the ruling class. Louis XVI got the big chopperoo at the Place de la Concorde. The revolutionaries erected a guillotine there. And Marie Antoinette, not a nice way to treat a lady, she was also executed at the Place de la Concorde. Well, because they had torn down a statue of Louis XV, who was posed elegantly and militarily on a horse of war, and they didn't like that. They tore that down. Then they dragged the king into the square, and the old chopperoo, Marie Antoinette, as well. Martin Zender here. Oh, also, the obelisk of Luxor. It was located in Luxor, Egypt, currently called Luxor. That was Thebes, the ancient city of Thebes. I forget how I pronounced it. These are tough things here. But even before it was Thebes, it had another name way back in the day, Waset. I mean, if Thebes was the name of it 3,000 years ago, God knows how long ago it was called Waset. I like Thebes, but I think Luxor, I think that's the best. In fact, I think there is a, if I'm not mistaken, a casino in Las Vegas called Luxor. So named after the temple in Egypt. How pagan. And yet Joseph and Mary graced it with their presence on the way to Egypt. They possibly even stopped there at the foot of the obelisk to enjoy a sack lunch with the baby Jesus. And again, you can see this amazing thing. Just go there and stare at it, touch it, and marvel that this was witnessed by, as Western culture would call it, the Holy Family. I'd rather call them Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. So I promised you 2 days ago that I was going to do the sun, the stars, and the moon yesterday, but then the inspiration struck, and I did a completely different thing. So I think today we're going to do the sun, moon, and the stars. Why are we doing that? To remind you, chapter 12, verse 1, and a great sign of the unveiling, great sign was seen in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon underneath her feet, and on her head a wreath of 12 stars. Sun, moon, 12 stars. Watch this from Genesis. All right. Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 and 18. And God said, are you with me? Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. God said, quote, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And we know the greater light, of course, is the sun, the lesser light, the moon, and he made the stars also, just as a side issue. And he made the stars. I've told you before, if I had made the stars, I would write a book, How I Made the Stars by Martin Zender, and I would elaborate on every juicy detail, and people would be in awe of my creative prowess. Not God, and he made the stars. And just, yeah, after he made the sun and the moon, he made the stars also. So, look what they're called here. Let there be lights in the expanse, let them be for signs. Genesis 1:14. Back to the unveiling 12. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon underneath her feet, and on her head a wreath of 12 stars. Now, I think everybody knows what the sun is. It represents Jesus Christ. Except, as you know, in this parable, in this sign, in this metaphoric representation seen by John, Christ is animating everything that is happening. This woman, who is Israel, is the faithful Israel because the sun is behind her, and the sun is Christ. And Christ is going to shine upon his nation like Well, I was going to say like never before, but that's not true because he has shown on them. But it's been 2,000 years of darkness for Israel in accord with Paul's epic prophecy in Romans 11 that stubbornness upon Israel has come until the fullness of the nations enter. And so the Son can only be Jesus Christ. It happens to be an English play on words that we have Son, S-U-N, and Son, S-O-N. It's not that way in any language. We've been talking about Place de la Concorde. If you're standing at the Place de la Concorde looking down the Champs-Élysées toward L'Arc de Triomphe, you would say Le Soleil. You wouldn't say the Sun. You would point to the sky and say, what would you say? I took 4 years of French. I hardly remember any of it. Voilà le soleil. There is the sun. And so there's no parallel there because their word for sun is fils, F-I-L-S. So there's no similarity there. But in English, it's interesting. That's all I'm telling you. The sun is that great celestial body in the sky, is the giver of life. And Christ is the light of the world. He called himself the light of the world. How appropriate. And he puts the sun up there in order to illustrate himself. Simple Sunday school pictures that anyone can understand, and only a theological seminary could screw any of that up. So, and also, Israel is to be the light of the world during the millennium. This is why we saw the candlestick in the holy place, with the showbread and the altar of incense, and there was that 12-armed candle thingy, which, of course, illustrates, depicts, foreshadows Israel being the light of the world during this time period. But as for now, as we're reading it in the unveiling chapter 12, it's hidden. And you're not seeing the woman with the sun behind her. And yet that's what's happening. That's the reality. Now, the moon is the reflection of his glory, and this is really up for grabs here. It's definitely symbolic. Now, in the book, in A.E. Knox's book, he believes this is the law, that the moon is the law, because it's a reflection of God's light. God gives his light, brings his instructions, his rules, desires to the world through this precept. And yet, while it is the glory of God, it's a reflected glory, because we see the epitome, we see what the law came to typify in Jesus Christ. So I think that's a fair guess, and it's only a guess. I'm going with it. The moon would be the law. And the woman is standing on the moon, standing on the law. Speaking of Paul, Romans 11, the law shall go forth from Zion. Happy are the feet of those bringing a tiding of good. Now, that means a different thing in our evangel than it does to the circumcision evangel. To them, the tiding of good is going to be the law. The law is actually good. Paul says that. In Romans chapter 7, was there anything wrong with the law? No, the law is just and pure and holy. It's just that no one of humanity can do the law. We know that God delivers us from the law, but he doesn't deliver Israel from the law. No, he doesn't. They're going to still do the law in the kingdom. He's going to put the law, write the law on their hearts. Now the stars, that's easy. The stars are a wonderful, beautiful simile of Abraham's spiritual seed. We know that Abraham was going to have two seeds, the sand seed and the star seed. The sand seed would be his physical progeny, because Abraham had more than two sons, Abraham and Isaac. He had other sons. He had Isaac and Ishmael. All right, I'm mixing them up with Jacob there. Lots of Bible people here. These are the heavy hitters. I should know these. I just go too fast. Abraham had many sons. His most famous sons are Isaac, and Ishmael. He had other wives too. Keturah, for instance, was a wife of Abraham. He's the father of the Arabs via Ishmael. And he's the father of the Israelites via Isaac. But many of these people are dumb. They're losers. They are spiritually dark. They don't get it. And so this is the sand seed. You just make castles out of it, you know, kick it in the face of weaklings, walk over it on your way to the beach. It's great, whatever. The stars are a much more glorious picture of Abraham's spiritual seed. Those who turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars in heaven. I believe that's Daniel. Not sure where. Read the whole prophecy of Daniel. You'll find it. And so the stars represent the promise of God to bring illumination to his select of Israel. And the number 12 obviously is pregnant with meaning, more pregnant even, or as pregnant as this sun-clothed woman and as Mary, the wife of Joseph. The coffee-drinking, tea-sipping, probably booty-knitting mother of Jesus. I bet she knit booties for him. I like to picture it. I really do. Of course, she did. Now, the number 12 can be none other than the 12 patriarchs. Look at poor Joseph. Poor Joseph had a dream back in the day. And did I save this yet? Genesis 37:9. And we also have the sun and the moon here too, which is interesting. Totally Israel. The sun and the moon is great, and the stars, we like to look at them, but it's all signs in Israel. I told you something crazy 2 days ago. I said that we're above even the sun, the moon, and the stars. We're above that. You think it was audacious for Joseph to tell his brothers this? Then he had another dream, quote, I'm quoting from Genesis 37:9, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. And they were not impressed with this dream, and they hated him. They were jealous. They envied him. They persecuted him, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites, some other loser, ragtag, fugitive fleet wandering through the desert. That's amazing enough. And you do think, maybe with Joseph's brothers, how audacious that you would have this dream that the stars are worshiping you, the sun is worshiping you, the moon is worshiping you. Well, listen to this. We have a calling above the sun, above the moon, and above the stars. As great as these 12 stars are, and no doubt, they also represent the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, who he chose among fishermen, tax collectors, layabouts, scamps, scallywags. But this 12 began with the patriarchs, who sold their treacherous brothers of Joseph, who sold him into slavery. These are the offspring of Israel. As I told you, this is why I say that the two witnesses will be schmucks, and why Mary was a schmuckstress, because of this. It makes perfect sense. It's just common sense. And I make sense for a living. And the fact that Paul has no place in this 12-starred wreath tells you that we're above this. Tells you. Why does Paul not have it? Because Paul committed the unpardonable sin. He blasphemed the Holy Spirit. He rejected the testimony of Christ and the Holy Spirit, and so he eliminated himself from any place in the millennial kingdom of Israel. So for him to have any chance at all, he's either dead for that eon, raises at the great white throne, probably goes to the lake of fire because that dude's name is not in the book of life. Either that, or let's put him at the highest pinnacle of heaven, because we're going to make him the first idiot in heaven. And we, ladies and gentlemen, are a progeny of idiots, a parliament of losers. And we follow in the mold of our apostle Paul, who called himself the chief of the sinners. Are we any better? And yet, because of God and because of the power of God, we see his life operating in us, and we become, by the grace of God, living letters and lights in our own right in the earth.